The one today is Thursday, April 16, 2026, and this is Week and Charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. If you need the link to the show, www.davelandry.com/webinar. And you could also email me at david@davelandry.com for a direct link if that doesn't work. What are we talking about? Well, current market conditions. Obviously, I'll have a lot to say about that. But this week, I really mean it. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock and crypto picks. Just add USD to a crypto pick if you want me to take a look at it. We'll do crypto, then stocks once I get through with the lecture here. Once again, I'm going to continue to focus on the missing piece, which is the methodology in action, following up on existing positions. And I want to touch upon timing the market and the VIX with the VIX, something that I've been noodling with quite a bit for a long, long time, 20-something years, I guess. But now I focus more on the intraday thing. And when it works, it's beautiful, but sometimes it doesn't. And I'm going to flesh that out, too. There's my contact information. I'll bring that up in a minute. You can also reach me again at david@davelandry.com. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading, or, as I often sum it up, borrowing a line from Greg Morris, all predictions about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. Once again, here's all my contact stuff. Feel free to shoot a screenshot. All right, as I've said ad nauseam, the missing piece for me was seeing another trader actually trade. And not only just trade, but tell me what he's going to do and then do it and let the chips fall where they may. Also, seeing the ups and downs is really important. And you'll probably notice over more recent years, last several years, I've been a little bit more forthcoming, I guess, in the ups and downs and the stresses of trading, just to kind of make you feel more normal, because we all feel kind of crazy in this business at times. But anyway, so what I do with the trading service is when there's a recommendation to be made, or a trade to be made, I should say, I'm not going to recommend something if I'm not going to do it myself. If I'm not going to put my hard-earned capital in the way, I'm not going to suggest that you should do the same thing. So that's why I get real selective at times. I don't want to lose money. Obviously, nobody wants to lose money, right? Anyway, so these stocks, I'd say 90% of them come from the trading service. A few of them come from the Facebook group on occasion. Anyway, this was a former mystery chart. Nice little TKO down to the 30. EMA as part of a pullback. People ask me, can a TKO be part of a pullback? Absolutely. A TKO is a form of a pullback, okay? Technically, if you just had this one, let's just say this was the high, this was the low on one day, those are some of my favorites. The market makes a new high, the next day you get that big TKO move, which sucks in some eager shorts. It also knocks out the nervous dellies, the people who just bought at the brand new highs. And those people who just bought are the absolute worst traders. They have no staying power mentally or monetarily, and they'll dump the position right on top of you. So it's good to get those guys shaken out. And then, of course, the sharks get sucked in and immediately vindicated. But if the market goes right back up, it squeezes them right back out. And that, by the way, that's part of this melt-up. What's happening now is the sharks are getting squeezed. Obviously. Anyway, there were the parameters, entry, stop, initial profit target. Now, this is the uranium stock. And back when I first found this stock, uranium was doing really well. In fact, uranium looked a lot like the stock itself. And so it's like, okay, I get the sector that's set up that looks great. And this stock is set up. If you can get the market, the sector, the stock all to go in the same way and ideally all set up, usually that makes for a pretty good trade. But not always, obviously, and we'll see on this one. The jury's still out, but it did enter or trigger an entry, I should say, and then it came back in. And fortunately, so far, knock on wood, it did not stop out. So a while back, we had 1382 and open, and believe me, it's hard to sit through a big loss like this, and that's per 100K. So if you got a bigger account, obviously, that number could be much, much, much bigger. And it's very hard just to say, well, screw it. I'm not going to let this thing go another $700 against me. I might as well just get out. And believe me, before I had the trading service, it was much harder for me to follow the plan. So the trading service is sort of a commitment device for me. I think as I wrote the last email, I do it because it's a commitment device for me. I also like teaching, and I also like, again, I think the main reason would be the commitment device, but it is very rewarding when it clicks with someone and they stick with me through a cycle of ups and downs. Those people who start on a good cycle, like we just got finished with, hopefully not finished with, but just went through, if they start on a good cycle, they expect it always to be that way. And as soon as things turn a little sour, they think it's all broken and they quit. Whereas those who start where I'm kind of chopping around a little bit, win a little, lose a little, rinse and repeat, they tend to be longer term clients and longer term successful with my methodology, obviously, because they're not off to chase rainbows as quickly. But anyway, they don't always come back. In this case, knock on wood, so far so good. I think we're on the cusp of going positive on this one, which would be really, really nice. And when I took this snapshot, we had 146, negative 146 open, which isn't great, but that's a $1,236 improvement. So this is a testament for following the plan. I tried to make the little guy die last week in my animations, but I failed. But we brought it back again this week. So the comeback kid, let's just see what happens there. And that'll be a great testament for following the plan. I just got a nice little email about someone who's been following me forever. And one of their favorite patterns of mine is the double top knockout. One of my favorites too. Double top knockout is just simply a minor double top. It's not something huge and major, although I'm sure it would work with something a little bit more major. The problem with something more major is the market would have already lost momentum. So you still got really good momentum with a double top knockout. And you want about three or four bars in between the peaks. And ideally you want that second peak, this one right here, to be higher than the left. Okay, now everything I do has a psychological backing to it. And my thinking there is when you have a double top, and this one's a little bit higher, this kind of gives false hope to everyone, okay? It kind of sucks in those Johnny-come-latelys, the nervous Nellies I just talked about or whatever. And then the TKO spits them out, and it also, again, sucks in the eager shorts. So a nice little TKO move out of a double top, or minor double top. DTKO double top knockout. There's the parameters down below. DTKO. Okay. And by the way, you could get all of these. In fact, when I do these presentations, that's where I get them from. DaveLeonard.com/webinar. The newer ones delayed or on YouTube. And by the way, if you're non-English speaking, or English is not your first language, I should say, then you can get my services translated on YouTube. And I do post them there. If you do become a client and you're outside of the States or non-English speaking as your first language, let me know and I'll add you to that list of people. The translation works pretty good, as I've said before, even by Kunis English. So the entry's here, stop is down here, and the initial profit target is up here. Now the entry is a little bit lower than the high. That's because on the following day, or following days, I should say, it sold off a little bit. Anyway, it triggers, didn't do a whole lot, but then finally takes off. Once again, a testament for following your plan. So we banked 964 on that one, and that's per 100K. And then when I took the snapshot, we had 435 open. So far, so good on this one. And I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully we can ride out that correction, or the correction is nearly over, and we go back to the business of making new highs. Monster Energy, not that long ago, believe it or not, the market was selling off. Surprised the t-shirts haven't come out yet. I survived the bear market of 2026, huh? Anyway, all-time highs here. Remember, everything I do is psychologically backed, okay? And you're trading traders, not markets. Write that down. But Monster makes all-time highs, and then it begins to slide, okay? So at all-time highs, everyone's happy, except for the guys that bought right around there, okay? And as soon as that market begins to drop, more and more people become unhappy and think about bailing out, right? And then you end up with some overhead supply, so it's going to be hard to get through that overhead supply. The bow tie to the downside, okay? Moving averages flip over. From uptrend, proper order, to downtrend, proper order. And what's pretty cool, I'm just kind of noticing this now, is we went straight from green to red. Now, yellow is when the moving averages are in neither uptrend or downtrend proper order. Okay, it means the prices might be back and forth a little bit or whatever, choppy markets. But when you make that transition, you'd like to see that transition happen over several days. And in this case, it flipped from green to red in one day. And usually those are the more powerful signals. When you've got that nice clean bow tie, it looks just like a bow tie. Anyway, that suggests the trend has shifted from uptrend to downtrend. Now, keep in mind, transitional setups, a little bit more complex. I get more questions on these than all my other setups combined. It's not like a generic pullback or TKO, something a little bit more simpler. These transitional setups, a little bit more complicated. You're also a bit of a pioneer. And like the American pioneers, you're either going to get the gold or the arrows. The arrows would be if it's a longer term trend. Like in some of these cases, somebody recently was asking me, he's like, yeah, you know, you've got this as a chart, but it looks good on a weekly chart. It's like, well, that's going to happen. Because on a weekly chart, it might just be pulling back. And you are still kind of fighting that longer term trend. But the idea with a transition is to get it as early as possible. And the chance of the gold versus the arrows makes it all worthwhile. Anyway, there's parameters. Entries here, stop is here. This is profit target down here. And you can see it triggers and moves nicely in our favor for a little while, but then backs up again, unfortunately. And when I took this snapshot, we had 296 open. I think it's rallying a little bit today, so we might give up some of that. Anyway, we'll see what happens. So this was a Victoria's Secret. This was not a mystery chart. And notice it went sideways for a long time, but it did make all-time highs before beginning to roll over. So it broke down out of that base, okay? And then you look at too short, the first pullback. The bow ties are a little, I guess I would use the word sloppy in this case, because they went from green to red. It took them a few days to make that transition, but it still looked like a major top nonetheless. There's all the parameters. Now, as I said last week, the great thing about the short side with, or just transitional patterns in general, I should say, is that you know where you're wrong, okay? If this thing goes all the way back up to that base and tries to get through that overhead supply, okay, support becomes resistance, okay? Resistance becomes support. A couple things to write down there. But you know if it gets all the way back to that overhead supply or overhead resistance, whatever you want to call it, and you know that it probably really shouldn't get much above that. So having a stop near that area is a pretty good deal. You know you're wrong. And then worst case scenario, sometimes if you wanted to trade fewer shares, you'd probably catch a lot more tops too. But with a smaller share size, you could put in a stop like right, let's just say right below those all-time highs. Because if it makes it all the way back to all-time highs, you know you're wrong, obviously, as a trend trader. But anyway, IPT is way down here, and it triggers and moves nicely in our favor, but unfortunately backed up, and then it hit the stop. So it's a $1,600 loss, and that's the screen capture from the spreadsheet. That's the mechanical version of this. Now, I don't want to put salt in anyone's wounds, but on the day it stopped out, if you take a look at it, it rallies up, and the stop was at 53. And it only went 14 cents above the stop, and that's on a 50-something dollar stock. So that's a pretty insignificant amount. And in a case like that, I'm willing to, and keep in mind, this is a five-minute bar, okay? So it only spent maybe a few minutes at that level, above the stop at least, and then before coming back in. So in a case like this, I'm willing to see if it stops somewhere near my stop, and then becomes a comeback in. Now, this is a little discretion that I like to use. If you're newer to the methodology or newer to trading, I'd recommend you not use discretion until you get your feet wet and get used to it, because they don't always come back like this one has, or at least was in this particular case. So just an FYI, when you're using discretion, number one, you're risking a little bit more, and then you also make a new decision, right? The old decision was, okay, let's just let it stop out. The new decision is, okay, well, I'm gonna give it a little wiggle room, but then how much wiggle room, okay? Well, in a case like that, pretty cut and dry, just a few cents above, you know, especially for a higher price stock like this, above the IPT, I mean, above the protective stop. The next thing, though, is remember, when you make that new decision, you come in the next day, okay, and the stock could be gap up 5 5 points or whatever. So you make a decision in order to, it's an educated guess, I should say, or a very small quantified type of additional risk. And of course, it could always get a lot better, but with the intention on staying with the position that could turn into a bigger, longer term winner. The market doesn't always move in exacts. Anyway, so here's their mystery chart reveal. All-time highs, slide, a bow tie once again. Not a super tight fulcrum there, but it's a first thrust anyway. And notice the gaps down and everything. This is starting to look pretty ugly, right? Bit of an implosion, followed by a pullback. Now, those were the original parameters down there. And what happened was it just kept pulling back, okay? So in this particular case, I decided, okay, it still might be in trouble, but probably somewhere around here, I pulled the stop as a recommendation. So that was IAG. Now, the reason I moved this entry up here was because as it kept pulling back, we moved the entry up with the stock. But no capital was put into harm's way on that one. All right, any questions so far? Okay, all good things must come to an end. I'm reminded of Brian Gelber's quote in Market Wizards. It might have been the first one, but he said something along the lines of 3 or 4 months out of the year, you're hot. You're so hot, you can't sleep at night. And that's one of those periods that we just have. Although it really didn't feel that great, which I guess is an okay thing, because otherwise it might have gone in my head. But anyway, you're hot for 3 or 4 months, and then you're cold where you can't hit the side of the barn from inside the barn, right, for several months. And then the other 6 months of the year or whatever's left, you grind it out, make a little, lose a little, make a little, lose a little, wonder if you're ever going to get any real traction longer term. That's the life of a trader, okay? And so that's kind of like the earlier when I said seeing other traders actually say they're going to do something. Knowing that the mindset of an actual trader, okay, is that they have all the ups and downs. And I've met a lot of these guys and girls over the years. And as we've talked about before, it's like you're at the bar with them and everybody's talking about how they got their ass handed to them, you know? Even if they made money on the day, they're talking about how they got their ass handed to them. And then you occasionally get your newer trader come up, you know, and he's like, he's bragging about how much money he made. So that's always a big red flag when somebody tells me how much money they made. Somebody recently told me they hadn't lost in years. I don't know about that. maybe they haven't taken a loss in years, but I guess I would imagine they have some losses. Anyway, so we did have a really good run. We had one of those Brian Gelber good periods, right, where there was only one loss in 6 months. Now, I was super selective during this period, okay? And a lot of the stocks didn't trigger. Go in and watch last week's Week of Charts if you can't sleep at night. Stealing the joke from Greg Morris, don't operate heavy machinery afterwards, though. But anyway, with 6 months, only one loss. And then, as I said last week, I was talking about how I pulled the rabbit out of the hat, but then we had another loss recently with the VSCO. Now, again, I'm still long that one, but all good things must come to an end. Now, I'm not really upset. I mean, I'll drop an F-bomb, don't get me wrong, but I'm not really upset to get stopped out of my short or shorts. As I often say when I recommend shorts on a trading service and we start getting short, it's like, here's the thing. I would much rather the market go straight up, stop me out of my shorts, it go straight up for a long time, and then we just make a lot of money on the long side, which you can. It's much easier to make money on the long side than the short side. But as I preach ad nauseum, the reason you want to learn how to short is it teaches you to see both sides of the market. And I highly recommend, provided you've been trading for a little while, but learn how to short so you can see when a trend may be coming to an end and a new one may be developing. Anyway, I want to touch upon timing the markets and the VIX with the VIX. Now, this was back on the 9th of April, and the VIX is the yellow bars here, the open, high, low, close. The 10-day simple moving average is this, what color is that? Violet. And then this is the distance away from the VIX. And if you look at the colors, Cyan is the close, and then this would be the, should be the low. Yeah, it's hard to read, but that's the low. This is the high, and that's the open, okay? So this is a measurement of how far away the VIX is stretched away from the moving average. Now, keep in mind, the VIX is a volatility. It's based on volatility. It's hypothetical out the wazoo. It's a hypothetical of at-the-money options, calls, and puts. Most people don't realize there's calls in there, too. And it's a hypothetical and perpetual 30 days. And the formula is about 2 pages long. I've showed it before, but you can Google it. I have no idea how they calculate that, but somehow they do. So it's a derivative based on a hypothetical, okay? But all you need to know, it's like getting electricity, flip the switch, right? I'm sorry, getting light, you flip the switch. All you need to know is when it gets stretched to an extreme, to the upside, for instance, is like panic in the market and the baby's getting thrown out with the bathwater, so to speak. And usually when those conditions occur, you get a reversion to the mean move back in both the VIX and in the overall market, okay? Now, it's not a guarantee. Nothing in this business is a guarantee. But when you see it get super stretched on the upside, you know that the market is in a panic mode, okay, and is buying options at ridiculously high prices. So that's, when the VIX is at 60, that's implying a huge implied volatility. Those options are incredibly expensive. Doesn't mean they can't get more expensive, okay, but they're due to implode in value, as is the VIX along with it, okay. And then the market is usually prone to rally afterwards. And we could use this reversion to the mean thing to our advantage. Now, this is the S&P in the background here. Now, one thing to remember, I see people draw head and shoulders and all kinds of other crazy things on the VIX. And, you know, maybe you could say, well, it's generally rising or generally falling. I'll give you that. But as far as the other technical patterns, I don't think you could use a head and shoulders and all this other stuff. It's something like the VIX, because it's more of a reversion to the mean type of market. It oscillates back and forth, okay? And when it gets super stretched, it tends to snap back. And one thing that Larry Connors taught me years ago is that it tends to overshoot. Volatility tends to overshoot in both directions. So you can see it overshot to the upside. It was at one point, based on like the open or the high here, which are pretty much the same, it was 60% away from that 10-day simple moving average. Now, I'm using, just FYI, this little 10.1 here. It's kind of hard to read. That's yesterday's moving average. Just so we're not chasing the tail with the indicator, we look at yesterday's moving average and see how far away we are from that today. Now, one more point, too. My VIX systems, as I've said, ad nauseum, were designed as short-term trading systems, okay? And they were modifications of Larry Connors' work and some of my own work. And they can print money at times, but every now and then something comes along. And like I was looking at some VIX trades a year back, or years back, I should say, and all of a sudden, I mean, it's just absolutely printing money. It kind of blew up because COVID hit, and then volatility just got whack, just like crazy, crazy stretched before it eventually reverted back to the mean. So I haven't been a big fan of short-term systems for years. And that's simply because you can get hurt really badly with a short-term system. Yes, you can get hurt really badly longer-term trend trading, but if you take profits off and you're trailing that stop, in the end, it's going to suck. But if you make 100% or 200% or whatever the case may be on a trade over a year's time, then that little bit of suck, for lack of a better word, you can live with and live through, and you made so much money, it doesn't matter. But if you're just making a set amount of money because you're exiting every third day or fourth day, whatever the case may be, sooner or later you're going to get whacked and that system's going to lose. It's just you're going to give up all of what you gained. And a lot of these, I think any short-term system in general is going to be a bit of an anthill type of thing. You make a little, 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 and then wham, you get whacked. So where I'm going with this is I think that this could be used intraday, although you have to be careful with that. And I'm going to admit admission of guilt here. I was a little bit too caught up in it, but we'll get to that in just one second. But anyway, on the ninth was a pretty good day to show you what happened. And you can see we were super, super, super stretched away from that moving average. Now, when that happens, you're looking for a reversion to the mean move again in the VIX. You're looking for that volatility to implode. And then you're looking for the market to rally. You can see the market had a really nice rally there as the volatility began to implode. Now, on the night, the market sold off fairly hard, okay? And that's the beauty of when you're looking to catch an intraday reversal like this. And this is not the trend following moron stuff, okay? That's the real money is really in the trend following moron stuff. The getting in the CLMTs and I hate to say hope, but hopefully DNNs and then previously KTOS and KGC and the gold, the TFPM and the gold and those stocks that we held for many, many, many months. That's where the real money is. But occasionally you get an opportunity like this to where you can make a little money if you're super, super, super patient. But the beauty was the market gap lower and then kept on keeping on, okay? And if you just paid attention to that high, which was also the open of the day, and then possibly think about going long when that gets taken out, because the reversion to the mean stuff might be kicking in. Now, again, this is just intraday stuff, but that was a 69-point move. Now, of course, you wouldn't want to try to pick the bottom on that, but still, you probably could have gotten about 50 points or so. And then it went a little bit higher, and then it's just kind of meandered around the rest of the day. Now, as I've said ad nauseum, I like using a 30-minute chart for my intraday trading. If you are looking at a 5-minute chart, I actually call it the 5-minute warning now. If I find myself on a 5-minute chart, I know I'm in trouble, okay? I never go on a 5-minute chart when things are going well, right? And a 5-minute chart is going to jerk you around a lot. Years ago, I was shocked to find that a very active day trader was using 15-minute charts. I thought he'd be like on 1-minute charts, a tick charts or something. That was kind of a shocker for me. But I've worked my way up to 30 minutes, and that seems about the right time frame for me to not get caught up in as many whipsaws. When you're looking at a 30-minute bar like this, it still looks pretty ugly, right? Doing the first 30 minutes of the day. And you're thinking, well, I don't see any reason to go after this market. But if you look at a 5-minute chart and it does this, that right there looks like this much, right? You think it's a huge move. But on a 30-minute chart, it's not nearly as much. So I would encourage you to use a little bit longer-term time frame if you're going to do some of this intraday stuff. Now, I just want to show you what the SVX did. You can see the SVX bottomed out, okay? And it took out that high. And it never looked back. And notice that it never did make a 2-bar low until right there. And that's something that I've always been kind of fascinated with, intraday at least, is like a 2-bar low, a 2-bar 30-minute low. And I forget exactly how I played this. I can go to look at the trades, but I know that was a really good day for me. And that's the kind of day I live for. I just need to wait for that kind of day. And not try to, you can't take money out of the market every day. It's nearly impossible. And I really should probably just focus on my longer term stuff because that's really where the bread and butter is. But I'm here anyway. I've got, a dozen screens. Anyway, so you can see it made a nice move. And what I do is if I get long something like this, I trail a stop and then I have an IPT, 1-to-1 on that. And then if the IPT is hit, I let that trailing stop take me out of the rest. So hopefully, I'd use the word hope, but hopefully I could ride at that trend all day. Here's LabVIEW, and there were many others that reversed the overall market on the day. So that's the ultimate goal. Now, lately, with this big rally and all, and this implosion in the VIX, which I'll get back to in 1 second, I've been expecting us to have a correction. And I'm very friendly with one of my clients who sucked me into some of his day trading stuff or all of it. And he's good at what he does, but I'm not him, as I often find out. But if I wait for those particular days where it turns into a route day, I could do really, really well. It's what happens in between to all traders, I suppose, that's important. But anyway, I told him that, hey, this stuff looks like it's getting ready to reverse. And he's like, you still playing what you think is going to happen or what is happening? Ooh, that's a good point. You know, that was a bit of a wake-up call. And, you know, I really don't have anybody to call me on anything. Well, I have my clients. But as long as I'm being a good little boy and making sure the stocks are trending and persistent in their trend, accelerating in their trend and pulling back, and I can show you everything I preach about in a chart, then if it doesn't work, you know, it happens, right? Sometimes twice. I can show you that, well, at least we went into this with good faith. All the stars were aligned. It just didn't work out, okay? Now, if you start fighting the market, that becomes a different thing. And as I often preach, using my own stuff against me, believe in what you see and not in what you believe. So I've been thinking, based on this stretched VIX, that we could see that reversion to the mean move fairly soon. So what I'm thinking is the market could correct. I'm not calling a top here. I'm talking about an intraday big move lower. And then the VIX itself could come back. But it looks like for now, so far, and this still could happen. We're getting a little bit of a slide happening now. Let's just see. So be careful out there, but we could have it happen. But the other thing that can happen with an overbought market is an overbought market can walk off that overbought condition by trading mostly sideways, okay? And then at the same time, you have the drop-off effect with the moving average, okay? So the mountain could come to Muhammad in this particular case, where the moving average continues to drop, and then 18, or whatever the case may be, becomes the new normalized VIX. Now, as I said before, some people look at fixed levels in the VIX. I disagree with that, okay? But if you're willing to look at relative levels, you know, let's say the market gets more volatile, let's say we go back into start tanking again or whatever. Well, a normal VIX might be 25 or something like that, okay? Whereas in more boring, longer-term uptrends, the VIX might be down by around 16. I think 16 suggests, implies at least, a 1% higher or lower move. And if you Google it, you can get the math and the rest of that, the VIX levels. And I learned that from David Keller. Anyway, so I still think we're due for a correction here. It's a very dangerous market to buy into at this juncture, but I trade pullbacks. So I'm not seeing a whole lot of stocks setting up, but they will, okay? If the stimmies can keep doing what they're doing and have an orderly correction, we'll take a look at all this in 1 second. Then we should see a plethora of setups there. Biotechnology, bases the XBI, just made all-time highs. We could see some setups there fairly soon. So don't get too caught up in that intraday stuff, but if you're willing to take a stab at it, I think something like the VIX can really help you to go in and make an intraday trade when it's worthwhile. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the TFM 10% system and following a system. Now, several weeks ago, when the S&Ps were approaching the 10% line, so this is 10% away from the 50-week closing high. This is 5% away, and this is 0% away. So notice this little green zone went higher earlier today. I just grabbed this screen capture 5 minutes before I got started here. So we're making brand new highs, obviously, okay? So this slide, this sell signal here, a close below the 50, check, a close below 10% or more from the 50-week closing high, that didn't happen. Now, I don't trade this mechanically, although I think I took one signal and rolled it out for a long time a while back. I got like 100 points in the queues. But I do use it to time my daughter's leftover college funds. And there's a part of me that wants to get in there and trade those funds, believe me. But I think it's better off. It's going to be hard to explain to them and my wife when we go through a serious drawdown if I'm going in and out like the rat hitting the button on the cocaine, right? But if I'm following a system that seems to have worked longer term and is not too active, I feel a little bit better in my decisions to occasionally pull them out of the market. Even though they're younger and do have a long time to recover, I think they do better longer term if they occasionally miss that 50% drop in the market. So I do pull them out. The whole point I'm trying to make here, though, is a few weeks ago, I'm thinking, why am I going to wait for this thing to close 10% or more away from the 50-week closing high? I should just pull them out now. And then I'm like, Dave, follow your system, right? Once again, you're getting more active than you wanted to be. Okay, you're going to be micromanage if you do that. And what's the – sure, the market could crash on a signal, but sans a crash, we're only talking about another – what was it? How many points is that? Not that many, not that much. Another percent move lower probably to stop them out of the market. And then again, we went straight back up. So that's looking pretty darn good. But yeah, on this week here, when this thing was imploding, I'm like, oh, I've got to pull them out by Friday. And then the market, of course, went straight back up. So Bitcoin has been bottoming out, okay? Notice we have, and let's see if we can get up in another window. If you take a look at the Landry light and probably even the bow ties, we could do both. So there's the Landry light. Occasionally I'm asked, I prefer arithmetic charts. I guess if I'm doing monthly charts and 25-year research, yeah, log's fine, but I like arithmetic charts shorter term. But you can see we're getting a little bit of upside Landry light. I wouldn't rush out and buy Bitcoin because you have all this overhead supply right here, okay? Round numbers, let's just say 85,000 to 95,000, thereabouts, okay? So anybody who bought during this level, and I know people that bought during this level because they thought it was on sale, they might be looking to get out at break even. Now, the cool thing is, even though you might not want to rush out and buy Bitcoin, we are beginning to see some crypto-related stocks rally. Now, that might be a little bit of a AI play too, but if whatever it takes, right? But you can see that we did cross back over to uptrend proper order on the bow ties. As I preach ad nauseum, I'm not a huge fan of bow ties kind of in like the middle of a range. I'd much prefer them to be coming off of major lows. Let's just see where we are. Well, this is fairly major lows, but I prefer just like really low levels when it comes to something like a bow tie. Let's take a look at like a weekly chart real quick. Then we'll hop back to crypto overall. Let's see, there's no really good examples in Bitcoin. But anyway, by the way, as I often preach, probably every week, every asset class will lose half of its value at some point in its lifetime. 126,000 and 60,000. That's more than half. Okay, so Bitcoin just lost half of its value. I could, you know what? I'll guarantee it. Well, I don't know how long though. If you're fairly young and healthy, the stock market will lose half its value at some point in your lifetime. The NASDAQ lost 70-something percent, 73 or 74% of its value in 2000. And people don't, it's like, you know, you start talking about markets and you talk about the depression and how it took 30 years or whatever to recover. And people like, well, that was then, this is now. Well, NASDAQ lost 77% of its value. I think from the 2008 bottom, it took 13 years to make new highs. So there's fairly long times where the market underperforms, and the buy and hold people get all excited about that. But I think you're better off market timing. And I'm going to quote Greg Morris again on this one. I often quote Greg. Whipsaws are frustrating. Bear markets are devastating. You can survive frustration. Anyway, as I often say, sometimes when Bitcoin is doing really well, you can come in and buy these shitcoins, SHYT. And ideally, I want to see them making new highs. I'm not too excited about bottom fishing in these guys, but they start banging out new highs. That's a stock. But banging out new highs with a little bit of vigor, sometimes they're worth a shot. So I'm going to have to start paying attention to Bitcoin. Crypto, something I really hadn't been doing a lot lately. But you can see that crypto is making a pretty good move today. So maybe I'll start paying attention. But again, the thing about crypto now is it's improving, obviously. And more importantly is the crypto stocks might be worth a shot fairly soon. All right, let's go ahead and shift gears and we'll pop in the stocks. If you guys want to take a look at any individual stocks, let me know now. I'll be happy to take a look at them. So let's just take a look at the market real quick. Again, there's your VIX, a little bit of reverse of the mean move happening today. Stocks are, they're kind of all over the place. So a little bit of a sell-off happening, but now it's bouncing back. It's crazy. Even ludicrous would say it's ludicrous, huh? All right, let's take a look at some of these areas. Oh, here's a Langer 100, FYI. This is just 100 stocks. And the way they get into the list is they have to make a new 52-week high at this point in time. If we get into a longer-term bear market or a choppy market, then I might drop that number down. But the formula is real simple. I could give it to you if you want for how I put these things in here. Now, here's something kind of cool to look at. So here's the biggest winner. This was one we were long not that long ago. Unfortunately, we got shaken out of it. And it went on to make new highs. But notice the dates on these huge winners. Okay, it's up 1,000% October last year, July last year, July last year. Look at that. I feel like Tiny Elves. Look at that. It's huge. So this one's up 163% March last year, okay? And then if you go in here and look at the 25, so some of these biggest winners have been in here the absolute longest. Now let's look at some stinkers because not everything's working right. But notice that the stinkers in here were just put in within the last month or so. Okay. So the beauty of following a momentum list like this is, okay, we know oil and gas is doing well, right? But what have you done for me lately? So these stocks are beginning to falter a little bit. Now they might just be pulling back, but they're beginning to look questionable. There's another oil and gas right there. It's coming back a little today, so that one might be okay. But this is kind of a little bit of a warning sign, and it helps you to see, where the winners are stacking up, okay? So that's a semiconductor. Should be several semiconductors. There's the electronic component, so that's semi-related. And, you know, biotechnology has been doing really well, too. Biotech. So this is a great little exercise, if I say so myself, in following momentum. And a lot of my trades come from here. XNDU, I was in that one yesterday, intraday. Although, in hindsight, I should have just followed my own little buy at B pattern. Look at that. How great would that have been, right? Buy at B. You would have entered on this day here. John Ross and my Facebook group is our IPO expert. He had brought this one up. I wonder if he played the buy at B. I need to pay more attention to IPOs. I haven't paid much attention to them lately because there hasn't been much to do, but you got to keep on doing your homework. I mean, that's one of those million little things I preached about. Anyway, kind of beating the dead horse of this, but you kind of get the idea. And you can see where the winners are stacking up. Look at the biotechnology, tons and tons of biotechnology. All your energies here, but you're going to probably see fewer and fewer energies because they are losing steam. And we'll take a look at that right now. Any stocks you want to look at, I'll be happy to do it. All right, S&P 500. We're right at all-time highs, okay? So that's obviously a good thing. Now, the thing is, hopefully we'll stay above this range for some time. This is something I was talking about in a webinar yesterday. So all these people who bought during this range are probably looking to get out at break even, but then the market blows through it. So before they have a chance to get out, they're like, well, heck, I'm just going to hang on and see what happens. So if this comes back in, then that creates like a triple top or whatever you want to call it, pick your favorite classical technical analysis type of pattern, but maybe even head and shoulders, but no, not head and shoulders, but triple top. Let's just call it that. So we need to keep an eye on this 7,000-ish round numbers or maybe a little bit further in. We pull back into that. That's going to be of concern. NASDAQ composite at all-time highs at the moment. So that's certainly a good thing. Look at that melt up, okay? Now, as a trend follower, I was pretty bearish a few weeks ago, as I should be, right? But then now we're going straight back up. What day was that? We started reversing. That's April 1st. Okay. Rusty 2000. Not quite to all-time highs, but just a smidge below. So far, so good. But all these indices, obviously, especially like the NASDAQ, very, very, very overbought. Let's measure that for S&Gs. I know you're going to party with me. So that run, 16 days. So that's a 17% run. Okay, round numbers. And if you want to use the funny math of annualization, that's a 3,300% move annualized. So that means that if this type of action kept up, is that 3,000%? What was that? That was ridiculous. That seems a little absurd. 2,400. So the market would be 24 times higher than this. What's 24 times 24? I can't do that math in my head. 480? So 48,000? No, it seems like it should be more than that. Anyway, it's a lot. 1,800,000? I don't know. What's 24,000 times 24,000? EFA shares have been doing really well today, notwithstanding. Not quite as strong as our market, though. So we're back to the dog with the least, being the dog with the least fleas. And that's always a good place to be. Gold stocks have kind of stalled out a little bit after the big ride, but we gave up on trying to short IAG because they just kept pulling back. And fortunately, it didn't trigger. I would not rush out and buy gold now. My daughter yesterday has texted me, did you buy gold when I told you? It's like, I look at this every day. It's like, I've been long gold stocks, just got stopped out of for over a year. But anyway, I digress. Okay, all service. Now, today, notwithstanding, a little bit of a bounce today, but as of yesterday, they hadn't made much forward progress since late February. So that's got to be a little concern. If you look at energies overall, they're on the cusp of making a bow tie to the downside. So this could be our next shorting opportunity. I know it's kind of crazy in the markets, especially with technical analysis. It's like you have to do the hard thing, okay? And this market keeps going up in spite of everything going on in the world. I guess I have to buy it, right? Well, I'm still in a few long, so that's working out. SMH, look at these semis, okay? Just absolutely melted up. They are ripe for a correction, but so far, so good. Anybody know, a while back, they were supposed to come out with VIXs for everything. Do they have a VIX for the semis? Let me know in the comments below, or if you're here live, let me know, too. Some areas still a questionable. Major drugs, major breakdown. So far, just pulling back a little bit. Still look like they're in trouble. Been pretty choppy as of late, though. But for the most part, and obviously with the market going pretty much straight up, most areas look pretty good. Lithium's looking good, banging out some new highs, a little bit of vigor. We could see some setups here fairly soon. Defense stocks getting whacked. Did I already say that today? They look like they're still in trouble. So far, looks like a top remains in place here. Okay, one day at a time, but that's looking kind of ugly. I think that's pretty much it. All right, any questions? Let me check with my YouTube peeps. See what's going on over there. Looks like there's a lag, pretty long lag there. While we're at an impasse, I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule. Anything unanswered? Dave@DaveLandry.com. Any more questions? Any more stocks? Or any stocks, I should say. All right. Well, everybody have a great weekend. All you guys and girls, or most of you guys and girls that are here today are in the Facebook group, so I'll see you there in a few minutes. Everybody else, again, have a great weekend. Hope to see you again next week, and may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. Oh, you're welcome.